Write that. Write that down, Fumi Saito.
Hello from Burbank, California. Thank you for joining us once again for another episode of Write That Down on the Fight Game Media Network. My name is Justin Nipper. I edit for FightGameMedia.com, staff writer over at WrestlingObserver.com. I work for Pro Wrestling Noah Cyber Fight Inc., and I am back with the one, the only, Mr. Fumi Saito. And this week will be, yes, part three of our Championship Origin series. And this week we focus on the shorter, but equally as interesting and equally as important history of the GHC heavyweight title, heavyweight championship. And we talk about how it relates to the Triple Crown, how it relates to All Japan or came out of All Japan, and the parallels and so many sub-stories that came out of that, that are still coming out of the GHC title history. So enjoy that today. Listen, if you have not already, please subscribe to the Fight Game Media Network podcast feed, Spotify, Apple, Downcast, Twitcher. What's Twitcher? Do you listen on Twitcher? Subscribe, because it helps us out very much. Next week, new episode. Let's get into the history and origin of the GHC Global Honor Crown.
All right. We are talking about, this is our the origin of championship belt, belt series, right?
That's right. This is part three.
Part three. First, IWGP World Heavyweight title, then All Japan's Triple Crown Heavyweight title. Today, GHC, Global Honor Crown.
That's right.
Yeah. It goes back to 2001, so has 22 years history now, but not nearly as old as IWGP or Triple Crown, but it's equally important in Japan.
Mm-hmm. And it's this 23 years, 23 years,
since
we have...
Yeah, since April of 2001.
It's the first generation from that, because we're starting to see younger people getting into pro wrestling, Noah, and they might have kind of looked at that as a more classic promotion to them, or Keiji Muto All Japan or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Those are generation. Relatively new to me.
Right. Yeah. It was, and it's different because we were talking about All Japan last week. And yeah. The Triple Crown continued onwards. It had its own path. But you really have to understand the Triple Crown to understand where the GHC came out of, or came from.
What?
Still with you?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I couldn't hear you for a while.
Oh, okay. No, but what I was saying is the All Japan Triple Crown is definitely connected to understanding the origin of the GHC title, because they're related, they're like cousins in ways, you know what I mean?
Yeah, sequel or the
sure the, yeah the sequel
brand or... new series brand new you know series or the same wrestlers, Misawa and his guys.
Mm-hmm. Like 95% of the All Japan roster, yeah,
from
at the time.
Mitsuharu Misawa, Kenta Kobashi, Jun Akiyama, and Akira Taue, just minus Kawada, right?
Mm-hmm. All the trainees that went on to become Noah stars.
Right, you're talking about Takashi Sugiura, the Maru Fuji, the Kenta, the, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, Takeshi Morishima, of course, Goshi Ozaki. The way to the Kaito Kiyomiya today.
Sure, that's right.
Yeah, so it really connects to the current scene, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, especially from the early 2000s to today.
Yeah, because 2001 is like a 21st century thing. And,
right.
It's kind of symbolic. It's already 20, the GHC title has 22 rich years. Pretty rich history of it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not new, for if you were 20 years old listening to this show, that's like the title originated before they were born. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
During that time, though, that 2001, whenever 2000, 2001, when everything launched, the GHC title was hot. It didn't have its history it has now, but the early scene.
Right, because it symbolized that the fact that this is a brand new era in the 21st century, and Misawa and his guys, bunch of guys, 25 guys, and whole company, referee to ring crew to the whole company, front office staff, all migrated from original Old Japan and formed Pro Wrestling Noah, like Norzak story.
They all left. They jumped ship.
Yeah, yeah. The it actually started like the spring of 2000 when it was like Misawa said he quit and Mrs. Baba said he was fired and all these things, right?
Mm-hmm.
And basically, Misawa, Akiyama, Kobashi, and Taue all were board member of All Japan Pro Wrestling at the time. They all resigned altogether and walked out of the company and formed, had a big press conference at Difa Ariake that no longer exists, you know, but at the building Difa Ariake that they had a big press conference June of 2000. We are forming a new company. It's called Pro Wrestling Noah. And it felt like the beginning of a new era. Yeah. Mm. And the first show was in July of, was it July? Yeah, I believe it was like August of 2000 that the very first Pro Wrestling Noah show was held at Difa Ariake. And It started with this emerald green Misawa ring. And it was very interesting that it was a brand new company. Pro Wrestling Noah was a brand new company at the time, but it was like the formation of new major league. Yeah.
It was
because of Misawa, Kobashi, Akiyama, and Taue and all. Yeah.
Yeah, and it felt like it was just a continuation of what was happening in All Japan.
In 90s All Japan, yeah.
And it felt like what was bound to happen in Old Japan if things were different, but we saw the rise of Jun Akiyama, and that kind of started at the beginning of Noah, and that was one of the early important people, part of the narrative, the story going forward.
Yeah, so they needed to create a brand new heavyweight championship, which was GHC, Global Honored Crown, and the reason they don't have in there is that it was Misawa's idea. You know, you say WWE or NWA or AWA or even IWGP, wrestling's W. It was Misawa's idea. Let's not have W in there. You know what I'm saying? The Noah was the reason too, because of all things, Misawa actually loved the brand name like Pride and K1. At the time, what was killing pro wrestling at the time, but when they hear Pride, not the word pride, like they take pride, it's the same Pride, but when you hear the word Pride, the fans automatically already associated that with this big MMA company, right? Pride, etc. Misawa felt that was kind of the notion that when you hear pro wrestling in the war, you just automatically, have this picture of this group of wrestler, he did not want to have W, like a pro wrestler or wrestling on it. And the K1 is like your karate and kickboxing and kaktogi is K, right? And Pride is just a name, but it was so successful that they didn't even have to call it MMA company. When you hear the name Pride, you just automatically thought it was like a big MMA company at the time, right? And the Misawa wanted to have something like that. And Noah's Ark story, so that the Pro Wrestling Noah was, perfect one for them. And it wasn't going to be Noah Heavyweight Championship or anything like that. And he wanted to have something that nobody had really used before. And partially it was a Leon White Vader's idea too, that I told you about that before, right?
That's, I heard that. Yeah. He came up with what the GHC stood for.
Yeah. Global Honored Crown. Oh, mm-hmm. wow. No W, but you can tell that's your brand new WWE title.
Mm-hmm. It was easily recognizable.
Yeah, GHC. It's like no W in it. And it's like, what's GHC? Then you want to know what it stands for. And Global Honored Crown, right? That sounds like a brand new World Heavyweight title. And therefore, you had it. And the company started in summer of 2000, but they didn't crown this GHC Heavyweight title until following April of 2001. They waited, you know. Mm-hmm. And they had the tournament to crown the new champion. And the tournament final was between Misawa and Yoshihiro Takayama at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, that's like the ideal main event. And it wasn't Misawa against Kobashi. It wasn't Misawa against Akiyama, you know, or Taue, which could be almost predictable, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. It's just like All Japan Pro Wrestling's 90s, you know, like a really glorious, you know, moments at the Budokan or something. He used Ariake Coliseum instead of Budokan. And the final was at the block, walking distance from Diva Ariake. And actually, Pro Wrestling Mall had their office inside of the Diva Ariake building first.
Mm-hmm. And that was their home base, headquarters.
Home base, of. Yeah. It's no longer, though, because they tore it down back in 2018 because of Tokyo Olympic and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's big parking lot. It's kind of
There's a different Ariake arena.
Ariake arena for this 2021 Olympic. They built a new building. Oh, they built so many new buildings now. But you know, like Yokohama Budokan and stuff like that, right?
Yeah. Have you been to Yokohama Budokan?
Yeah. Actually, it's not as big as you think. Only holds like 4,000 people, but the setup is kind of like major building looking they have, but they don't hold exactly like 10,000 people or anything like that. It's like 4,000, like a little shy of 5,000. So it's compact. It looks more like your basketball building or something. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's like a brand new, you know, good looking building. And they used this time, April 2001, they used Ariake Coliseum. For the tournament final, it was Misawa against Yoshihiro Takayama. Yoshihiro Takayama was already a star, but not exactly All Japan star. You know, he comes from a UWF background, and also he had famous fight for the Pride. You know, if you remember Takayama against Don Fry, or he had lots of MMA fight, you know, around the, you know, turn of the century, and so he had this MMA. Ness, what's the word for it? MMA-ish?
Aura. Yeah, he had that. It was a different style that he brought into the ring compared with Misawa, Kobashi, Akiyama.
Yeah, and Misawa, Kobashi, like, Akiyama, they all had always a great match, but almost same chemistry, right?
A pro wrestling style as opposed to...
Yeah, at its best.
UWF style, or what? With I think the thing with Takayama is that he felt like
you bring in the
outsider giant,
really original, yeah,
kind of invader.
He does not bounce off ropes. You know what I'm saying?
He uses more martial arts,
kicks,
punches,
and
chops,
punches, and suplexes, and submission at the end, kind of, mm-hmm. and big knee.
Big knee, yeah, that's right.
Big knee to your gut. Yeah. So, but that was Misawa's idea, and Misawa against Takayama was your pro wrestling knowledge very first championship. Yeah, and Misawa beat Takayama to be the very first GHC championship. You know, he's like your icon of pro wrestling knowledge, right? But he actually, Misawa only held GHC title twice. That's it. Yeah.
Course
of this 22-year history.
In your memory,
yeah,
what were some of the more surprising or memorable moments in the early days of the GHC? Because there were some
in early days of GHC, meaning early days of pro wrestling Noah.
Exactly, exactly. Early 2000s. We're basically seeing the rest of the story from old Japan.
Yeah, they had Korakuen Hall show. Of course, they had Diva Ariake shows. And the very first time they, pro wrestling canvas always been either white or light blue in Japan, right? They brought in this Misawa's image color of emerald green canvas, for pro wrestling noir. And they waited until they crowned the GHC championship. Then July of 2001, they held their very first Nippon Budokan show.
Hmm.
Yeah. And for surprising, the almost surprise that Akiyama beats Misawa for the GHC title at the very first Budokan show. Yeah. So from Misawa to Akiyama, and you would think Akiyama and Misawa will have another fight, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it was actually Yoshinari Ogawa who beat Akiyama to be the third GHC champion, which was a statement, I believe, that Misawa's making, that under Old Japan or Giant Baba umbrella, in the big umbrella, that the Ogawa, Yoshinari Ogawa, as good as he is, kind of almost skinny to be heavyweight, but he's a very smooth, great worker. But in Baba's eyes, that Yoshinari Ogawa would not be put in the main event. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it was also, and they were tag team partners, so...
Untouchable, yeah.
Yeah.
And we talked about the tag team name Untouchable, and how it came about, that Misawa was looking for, at the very end of, 1999-ish, that Misawa was to find his new tag team partner. It's not Kobashi, it's not Akiyama, it's not Kawada, anything like that. He picked Yoshinari Ogawa to be his regular tag team partner and named their tag team Untouchable, which means that the Mrs. Baba couldn't do anything about. Mm. Isn't that interesting?
Mm. Rebellious.
Yeah, that's good. It's like almost like what's the name? What's the word I'm looking for there? Almost what's a hidden agenda kind of thing.
I see, like a double entendre.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah, you can say that. Yeah.
A little bit.
And yeah, so the ones who understood what it meant, it was like, oh, all right, right? Mm. The ones who didn't understand, it's still new name for their tag team.
Yeah, so, just a cool pro wrestling name.
Yeah, Untouchable, right?
Yeah.
But it was actually meant that this tag team, that Mrs. Baba couldn't do anything about, that it was Misawa's statement. Interesting, but it was also pro wrestling in its very beginning that it was a statement that the wrestlers under Old Japan environment, that the ones that would not be put in the main event situation, like people like of course first Yoshinari Ogawa, but if you remember Masao Inoue,
mm-hmm.
they would be put in a higher card situation too. Yeah. Then pretty soon people like Takeshi Rikio comes in, you know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah, and different rookies, younger guys.
Yeah, or put Marufuji and Kenta in heavyweight situation too. See, under traditional old Japan lineup, that as good as Kenta and Marufuji were, they would always be in junior heavyweight division. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they had the image kind of stamped on them for a bit.
Yeah, because they were smaller guys, in the junior, 180-pound guys. I mean, great athlete, but in old Japan, environment, they will not be put in the main event. But the Misawa said that you can use Yoshinari Ogawa in single heavyweight main event situation. Watch what we do. I mean, he didn't say it, but it was like that. Yoshinari Ogawa beating Akiyama was pretty surprising, And Yoshinari Ogawa's reign wasn't all that long, but all of 5 months or so. And Yoshinari Ogawa beat Akiyama to be the third GHC champion. Then Takeyama comes in and, Yoshihiro Takeyama beat Ogawa to be the... GHC champion too. So it rolls, 2001, 2002, 2003, and back from Takeyama back to Misawa. But Kobashi would beat Misawa for the first time in this kind of situation and becomes GHC champion in 2003. If you remember Kobashi's reign as Triple Crown champion, he always beat people like Steve Williams or Taue or Kawada or somebody like that. But he never had this big single match win over Misawa when they were with New Japan. I mean, All Japan, I'm sorry. Did you notice that?
I guess when you pointed out, that's right. This is also when Kobashi sort of changed his image too. He changed his costume.
From bright neon orange to black and purple, right?
Yeah, like a burning black.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Akiyama changed his blue trunks into silver white.
That's right. That was shocking. I always thought he'd be blue.
That was the image they wanted, because it was also Mrs. Baba that once you have blue trunks in blue tights, that Akiyama will forever be wearing blue, that you're not allowed to wear anything else. That the neon bright orange color, you know, was Kobashi's, that you'll be wearing that forever.
I see.
Yeah.
But Misawa never changed.
It was something to do with his... I don't want to say like a palm reading, but there was a person that who gives you a word, you know, that the Misawa used to go talk to, you know, before he makes decision, that the emerald green was the gun that's guiding you to, you know, to higher place. So it's like he wouldn't change that green image. Wow. I'm not saying this is like a mumbo jumbo thing, but Misawa believed in the emerald green, that is a guiding color for him. That's why he never changed it. A slight change in cost, I mean, like a silver and design patterns, though.
Sure.
Basic colors the same.
Yes.
The emerald green and a little silver in it on it. And actually, he had this long Kiki's talking. if you remember Misawa's costume, like a real long gown.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all silver and, you know, the green and all these things. Actually, they're like a 35, you know, the gown just like that. It looked kind of similar, right? Always.
So they're 35 separate robes.
I mean, actually, all slightly different design.
Mm. Wow. Like Ric Flair.
Oh, I guess, yeah. But it's the same pattern color, though. It's always that green, aqua, emerald green, and silver gray on it. It's just the design that it's slightly different, that most people don't know the difference. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not supposed to notice, but there's like over 30 costumes like that. And useless trivia was that Yoshinari Ogawa was the only one who knows. Which one's which, because they kept the costume at the Difa, in the back of Difa Ariake, and Yoshinari Ogawa was the only one who could distinguish, you know, one costume to another. Isn't that interesting? I mean, what I'm telling you is that Yoshinari Ogawa actually is number one right hand man for Misawa all along.
He was Misawa's top guy, wasn't he?
Not just in the ring as a tag team partner, but the dressing room, booking, ideas, the creative meeting, all these things.
Mm.
Isn't that interesting?
Now, and when you talk
about... still there now. Yeah.
When you talk about the costumes and the big sets like K1 and Pride had, was it true that Mrs. Baba opposed that kind of... like a big showmanship sort of approach to the show? Was that one of the philosophy differences between her and Misawa?
It wasn't so much a big production thing, but that what Mr. and Mrs. Baba resented was that the outside company come in and do those productions.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like a big production company and run the exterior of the show.
Mm-hmm.
That it's a very traditional, old Japan I'm talking about, Mr. and Mrs. Baba running very traditional wrestling company, that all the package would be done within the company, not big, you know, event, big budget event production come in and do the whole production outside of, I mean, their wrestling. that the ramp to entrance to music to lighting, everything should be done within a company is what they were thinking. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
See, the reason K1 and Pride had such a big budget was that it wasn't their K1 money. It wasn't their Pride money. It was like a Channel 8 Fuji Television budget, Channel 6 TBS budget, that they were like a primetime show, like your 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock on the network channel. Of course, their show had big budget, so they wanted to have this big entrance at the Yokohama Arena, the big Tokyo Dome, that the lighting and laser and all these things, that they were outside, that they weren't done by Pride production or K1 production. I say, but they would let them do that, you know, like an outside company, production company, and run that part of the show. But it wasn't like that with all Japan, that Mr. and Mrs. Baba, that they wanted to run their idea of pro wrestling show should be. You know what I'm saying?
Do you think that by the time it was, you know, early 2000s, was that feeling a little bit dated?
Yeah, I guess so, because it's so visual, right? Yeah. But then again, it was what was interesting was that in 1998, when All Japan had their very first Tokyo Dome show, the Tokyo Dome was like the New Japan's, you know, your marquee, you know, biggest show of the year kind of thing. And there was a way to run their Tokyo Dome, big, long ramp and all these things that when All Japan ran their first Tokyo Dome show back in 1998. It was a very simple, that the no big ramp, that the guys come out of their dugout and walk into the ring and all these things. No big, you know, production. But it felt like, right, it's like you don't need, almost don't need that for wrestling. It probably looks like more like an NWA Crockett show, huh?
Yeah. I could see that when you look back on tape, it sort of looks like one of those Crockett Mid-Atlantic shows, those big outdoor shows.
Yeah.
Big wide shots.
Baseball stadium, fine, but you don't need this, you know, 100-yard ramp and all the, you know, lighting and whatnot, right?
Mm-hmm. And there were some pretty memorable things from that show.
Yeah, because memorable what they moments. Was a good wrestling matches.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Music, fine, but then not much of exterior. Anyhow, but Misawa's idea was that they wanted to have a little bit of that with Pro Wrestling Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A little more pageantry.
You were at the time in the year 2001, 2002, 2003, 2004, that they were still competing with Pride and K1.
That's right. Yeah.
And 2004, July of 2004 to be exact, Pro Wrestling Noah had their very first Tokyo Dome show, Departure 2004, if you remember.
Mm-hmm.
That's like well into wrestling's dark age, though, huh? 2004.
Yeah, you know, yeah.
Peak years of Pride and K1 and MMS stealing all the wrestling fans, and famous wrestler like the Takayama's an exception, but Antonio Inoki at the time pretty much sided with MMA people, and they use people like Yuji Nagata or Kendo Kashin, that the legitimate college wrestling champion, was sent to Pride, and they got beat, right? That was bad for wrestling at the time.
You could see these shows with wrestlers that would probably sell out Tokyo Dome or wherever now, but they couldn't fill Korakuen Hall. The crowds were really small. Wrestling was kind of
a sad period in pro wrestling history, huh?
Yeah, it was very
Noah was almost isolated case, that the Noah and Misawa's guys are still hot with this traditional pro wrestling. They were able to run Tokyo Dome show in 2004, and the main event was, you would think it's Misawa's main event, it was Jun Akiyama against Kobashi, if you remember.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They did have one more Tokyo Dome show, though, 2005. Same July. Was that July? Yeah, I think so. July 2005, the second Tokyo Dome called it's Destiny 2005. And people like you know, Keiji Muto's All Japan, you know, they joined, and it was, they were able to run, still able to run a Tokyo Dome show. That Noah was really still strong with traditional style pro wrestling. Yeah.
I feel so like that 2005 was the kind of marker of either the beginning of the next part of Noah's history, or maybe the end of that 90s 2000s run that the big four were involved with, and all the new stars were getting involved with.
Yeah, and push that from the GHC title from Takeyama to Misawa, Misawa to Kobashi, right? And Kobashi put Takeshi Rikyo over, and Rikyo of all people became GHC champion in Budokan in 2005. Mm. Then Rikyo to Taue, Taue to Akiyama, from Akiyama to what, Marufuji this time in 2006. All at the Nippon Budokan. They were still running Budokan show like what 90s Old Japan was doing at the time. Yeah. Yeah, the early 2000s, yeah, Pro Wrestling Noah was the only company that was really strong with this traditional pro wrestling. Yeah, come to think of it.
It was the one that preserved a lot of what was still happening in the 90s. It felt like New Japan had the flavor changed a little bit. There was big separation between the juniors and the heavyweight division. K1 and Pride and Rings.
And then people like Hiroshi Tanahashi, that Shinsuke Nakamura, that Katsuyori Shibata, they were still very new at the time. Yeah,
they were going through it.
Yeah, and then they created, yeah, New Japan created a title like IWGP Under 30, if you remember.
Yeah,
U30. Yeah, okay. Anybody under 30 years old will have that title, kind of thing. Hmm. So you had, but that's a sign of a struggle, though. You know what I'm saying?
I remember you watched some of those shows. I mean, the wrestling was great, but the crowds were a lot different than they are today.
Yeah, wrestling itself was pretty good, though. It just.
Sure.
Audience, it was the day that just the world out there that wasn't watching wrestling at the time. Yeah,
the markets was different.
It
was different, but the early days of the GHC title were really, those were some of the,
they had their own way of doing things, and they were still pretty strong, and they were running, you know, still running regular Nippon Budokan shows, and yeah. And they were on network channel, Channel 4 at the time, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, right. So, but then this 2009 Misawa thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And Misawa died in the ring.
Mm. Yeah. And the GHC title, I mean, it how can we put it? Nothing changed, but also
the show must go on, and they still ran all the shows.
Right. It's just there was a feeling of how are we going to adjust, or adjustment period for a long time.
Oh, but it's still never got over it, though. You know,
mm-hmm.
Icon. Of pro wrestling, no, not just that, but the biggest superstar of the era, and also Misawa was very strong leadership. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
he became like a promoter,
icon of the company. Mm. Whether he has the belt or not, he still is your icon of pro wrestling, no. And after Marufuji, Misawa got the title back for the final time in 2006. But after that, it was Takeshi Morishima, from Morishima to Kensuke Sasaki, you know, migrating into pro wrestling, you know? And Kensuke Sasaki to Akiyama. Then for the first time, Go Shiozaki beat Akiyama for the GHC title. It was almost experimental.
Much younger, Go Shiozaki.
Yeah, it was just days after Misawa's thing happened, that Shiozaki beat Shiozaki beat Akiyama for a GHC title for the first time. You had to go with new guy, new superstar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really symbolic, you know, that the one place definitely vacant, right? The mm-hmm. place is open, that the Misawa's gone now, that this is wrestling, but you will need a start to fill in, you know, the one spot is clearly open, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was almost unfortunate, or unfortunate for everybody. But if time was different and the situation was different, Go Shiozaki would have been a great next superstar. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, still, well, he's talented and real good looking, but the thing was somewhat rushed, huh?
Well, I think his story is still playing out. So I feel like I don't want to judge it until I see the rest of his career play out, because I think there's a big difference between the early career Go Shiozaki that felt like it was a little rushed. It felt like kind of like what they did with Roman Reigns, you know?
Yeah, it was like a push to sky when it wasn't quite there, right?
And no matter what, whether the fans liked it or whether they didn't like it, that's just what it was.
Just wouldn't work, huh?
Mm.
Yeah, but it's like wrestling as like a strange creature, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So Go Shiozaki, after all, got the belt though, you know. But as loyal as pro wrestling all fans were, they weren't completely behind him. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. So the GHC title goes from Shiozaki to Sugiura, you know, Takashi Sugiura, a legitimate, you know, Olympic, didn't make Olympic, but almost made the Olympic candidate. It was a national.
He almost made the, what's the word? The qualifier.
Yeah, he was.
Almost qualified for the Olympics.
And also self-defense force, you know, Jietai, mm-hmm. Japan's self-defense force wrestling champion.
Mm-hmm.
And the GHC title from Shiozaki to Takashi Sugiura, back to Shiozaki. Then Takashi Morishima came in, and they needed the help. So they brought in Yuji Nagata from New Japan to beat, Morishima. Then there was, if you remember, the long feud between Kenta and Yuji Nagata, much like today's All Japan's Triple Crown picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yuji Nagata come in all by himself from New Japan and beat their champion, you know, in pro wrestling. You know. So, yeah, it was that gave Kenta heavyweight rub, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That, could he beat Yuji Nagata? You know, it's like a real legitimate college background. And well, New Japan's former IWGP champion at that. And I remember this Kenta Nagata long feud. It was like a very interesting one. Yeah.
I think, tell me if I'm wrong, but I think this also really helped Nagata
revive himself.
Revive, I'm looking for a specific word, like kind of. Repair his image after the
MMA thing.
Yeah, I
now,
really
probably. Yeah, it really did help. And also, he was in wrestling environment again. You are performing in front of loyal wrestling fans instead of just iffy MMA fans. You know what I'm saying?
Sure, and I feel like putting him in the mix, it felt really natural putting him next to Akiyama and Kobashi, and he was as talented as all of them. So all I felt them. Like yep. His Noah run was pretty integral to the Nagata we see today.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he was like the perfect, for this spot, that the Yuji Nagata coming in from New Japan and get the main event spot. And the main event would be Yuji Nagata against Kenta. You know, they went back and forth, Osaka, Tokyo, Osaka, Tokyo, you know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And and it was very, very interesting. That made Kenta singles main event guy too, until he left for WWE. Yeah.
That's right.
Around the same time, not yet, New Japan's somewhat helping, if you remember, that the 10, 12 guys, Suzuki-gun come in to pro wrestling in O-ring and like taking over this whole scene. You know, it's as if New Japan, you know, like invasion of pro wrestling. Yeah, it was new.
I remember that. That was where
pro wrestling noise, you know, wrestling matches are all great, but very homogeneous, right?
It felt like it felt fresh at the time, but it also felt like New Japan was really crushing Noah.
Well, because they're the bigger company.
But yeah. And it was also where we saw a lot of Shelton Benjamin in Suzuki-gun. He was a big part of that Noah run. I remember him and Archer and Davey Boy. And that's how Kanemaru came over to, you know, that's how he made his way to New Japan.
After all, right.
After the angle finished, he continued on with Suzuki-gun in New Japan.
Suzuki-gun, and now he's under New Japan, right? That's right.
Now he's just five guys.
Just five guys, like Taichi, yeah.
Yeah.
Taichi originally is from like Muto Zou Japan.
That's right. At Sanada too.
Today's, you know, that IWGP champion. Yeah. That he's from, you know, Muto Zou Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's interesting because those are relatively younger talent, but they too, you know, migrated, you know, like switched company from all Japan, you know, that the Muto's all Japan to Pro Wrestling Noah to New Japan, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's hard to for me, it's really hard to keep up with, you know.
Yeah, it's really fast,
isn't it though? Yeah, but yes, because it's two different companies, but Pro Wrestling Noah and all Japan always like cousins, right?
Yeah, I mean,
in style.
They're related. A lot of the talent relations, there's a lot in common. The styles there's a lot in common too.
Very similar. Yeah.
A lot of shared history, but the All Japan we see today, it's the 2015 All Japan.
A little bit, yeah.
Which it's just fine. It's just what it is. But yeah, that's not GHC. We're talking GHC today.
Yeah, right. But the GHC was a tool. And a wheel for always this center of the pro wrestling Noah's, you know, main drama thing, that who's gonna have this GHC championship and who will be the challenger for GHC title. So GHC title from Kenta to Morishima, and the Morishima to Nagata, and then the Nagata to Marufuji this time. Then Minoru Suzuki beat Marufuji for the title.
Mm-hmm.
Minoru Suzuki also was GHC champion once.
That's right.
It was like a 2015, right? But from Minoru Suzuki and back to Marufuji, there was a backstory that, as interesting as it was, because Marufuji looked like complete Misawa type guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
As a wrestler. But right out of high school, actually, once upon a time, right out of high school, Marufuji, though, UWF. It's a completely different style, don't you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, but the Marufuji was going to UWF right out of high school, and he knew Minoru Suzuki way back when, like acquainted.
So I guess see it a little bit in his style, don't you? Like, he was one of him and Kenta were the early employers of that mix of a kind of martial arts with modern lucha libre flying and attitude. It was a part of that 2000s, that 2000 style that I guess we see more and more today by most wrestlers. That,
I mean, like elbows and like a bitch slap to the face and stuff like that.
Yeah, a little bit flashy, or a little bit, you know, using not, I don't know if you call it martial art, but kind of what Marufuji was doing with Tiger Mask kind of stuff.
Yeah, but
hook kicks and such.
He was going to be UWF wrestler once upon a time, which is really weird. Like a strange, but he ended up signing with All Japan Pro Wrestling, and it was under Misawa's wing. And if you remember, like a rookie Marufuji wearing Tiger Mask tights underneath his regular trunks. You can see through that in his butt. You know, yeah, because the traditional old Japan thing remained that, and when you go to like a pro wrestling Noah dojo, they still do it, the old Japan dojo too, that whomever the veteran wrestler used those old trunks would be thrown into this big cardboard box, you know. Then the young rookie come in and they say, oh, I found the trunks here. I'm gonna wear it, you know. And it's kind of like your brother's like hand-me-down clothing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and you're stuck with it.
A little bit. So Marufuji rookie years were wearing Misawa's old tights. Yeah. And the blue long tights that the Marufuji was wearing at the time, like a very rookie years long blue tights, it was Misawa's long tights Misawa used for 1 year in Mexico.
Wow. So they're pretty meaningful.
Yeah, but the blue long tights isn't Misawa, you know. He only used it when he was in Mexico, you know. And then he brought it home and never used it again. Probably tossed it into the box, and Marufuji found it and kind of wore it. The ring shoes too, they do, you know, it's like a beat up wrestling boots that I'm not going to use it, and then put it in the, you know, like a throw into a box, and somebody finds it, I'm gonna wear it, all right, right? Yeah, so it's like a hand-me-down culture was still there. Back to Marufuji and Minoru Dynamic, that the title will be back to from Marufuji to Minoru Suzuki, Minoru Suzuki back to Marufuji. Then Takashi Sugiura beat Marufuji. Then Go Shiozaki beats Sugiura. Then Sugiura beat Go Shiozaki again. It's like 2016. And what happens in 2016 in Pro Wrestling Noah was that that was after New Japan pulled this entire Suzuki-gun away from him, right?
Mm-hmm.
That Pro Wrestling Noah, the stock that the entire company was sold to a company called SDB or something, okay? At the original company body I'm talking about. Original Pro Wrestling Noah company was sold to one company called SDB, and they changed the name of company to a Noah Global Entertainment or something like that, mm-hmm. in 2016. Yeah. So the structure changed. Yeah. It was like, you know, 6 years, it's almost 7 years then. Yes, yeah, 6-7 years after Misawa's passing, mm-hmm. that the Pro Wrestling Noah, you know, trying to survive and, you know, try to keep this company going, you know, after Misawa, and the Pro Wrestling Noah is still there, but it wasn't as strong. There was a help from New Japan. We talked about the hell, you know, Yuji Nagata coming in, then the entire Suzuki-gun come in, then the entire Suzuki-gun left, and then there's another genuine Pro Wrestling Noah crew, but the business wasn't as good, and the new company came in and bought the company from Pro Wrestling Noah in 2000, like November of 2016, and they made the company name Noah Global Entertainment. So that means it's the company structure has changed, and it's owned by another company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this Noah Global Entertainment company, you know, try to keep the company going. But at the 2020, it was finally sold to another company. Now it's Cyber Agent. It's currently, mm-hmm. yeah. Cyber Agent is your basically internet streaming, you know, service company, right?
That IT, digital marketing,
very IT, and it's like your new business model for pretty much everything on the entertainment business, including professional wrestling. That the house show gate and the ticket sales and the gimmick sales, you know, merchandise is fine, but this era, you will be making gigantic money with live streaming pay-per-view, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very different business model. That everybody has this, like, you have your iPhone, you have your iPad, and all these, or even laptop, that you will be able to purchase your pay-per-view through your device, not the traditional pay-per-view it's still going right now, right? It's getting bigger. So the cyber agent was like a new capital and also a new business model that would probably, you know, change pretty much the foundation of, you know, pro wrestling. Yeah.
Yeah, and the pandemic definitely threw things.
Oh, 2020? Yeah, cyber agent came in. And the same year that the DDT and another company called DDT Foods, DDT Pro Wrestling has this restaurant division of a company called DDT Foods. Mm-hmm. So DDT Pro Wrestling, DDT Foods, and Pro Wrestling, you know, they all combined and made a new company called Cyber Fight. That's the company they have right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and, the structure has changed, but they were able to maintain this Pro Wrestling NOAH logo, and that the business model has changed, the structure has changed, but you have the whole the 2020 look of Pro Wrestling NOAH now.
Mm-hmm. And because of the pandemic, it was sort of hard to, you know, it was double-edged sword. It was great.
House shows.
Yeah. Pretty much house shows, yeah. I mean, Cyber Agent came in and Abema stepped in and the production looked great.
Yep.
But on the other hand, you couldn't have people at the shows for the early months. So there were a lot of studio shows that year.
Yeah, if you remember Shiozaki against Kazuyuki Fujita, no people match at the Korakuen.
Yeah.
No crowd.
Infamous,
just them in the ring.
Silent match.
Oh, they stare at each other for 20 minutes.
Is a very polarizing subject. People love it. People really hate it. Everything.
I liked it because it was different.
And it was also, very different.
If you had the live audience, you couldn't stare at each other for 20 minutes.
That's true too. Or maybe
or
you could. Who knows?
Your video camera falling into your hallway, into stairs, to a concession stand. The camera is actually following you and wherever you have fight. And it was like, God, it was kind of the same way that the WWE with what do you call that bunch of video screen? I forgot what it called.
The Titantron.
Not the Titantron. No. That the whole bunch of video screen with people on it.
Like up above.
I mean, like right, right. I mean, round the ring. Why do I forget
this, the LED? You know? The LED term on the
turnbuckle? No. Just the people with face, the audience from all over the world.
Oh, during the pandemic, you mean the virtual crowd?
Yeah. It's,
oh, excuse
was
me.
The
yeah.
Same era. Yeah.
Why That's do you right. call it like a virtual? There was a name for it.
Somebody should
actually.
Help me because they call it some cool name that I thought they were gonna keep it. And Vince McMahon apparently hated it, so they took it down a year later. But
I do remember the virtual
audience.
Yes.
Yeah, it looked kind of badass because America's Got Talent and the shows like that were doing that too.
Uh huh.
Yeah, the pandemic, of course, pro wrestling is not completely independent of. From what is happening in the real world, right?
That's right.
There was a pandemic, yeah. And they had to go with the time. And it really changed wrestling. Now pretty much back to, you know, your live audience and audience, all these things. But yes, it was affected by it, yeah.
And I think things in NOAH seem to have evened out. And the GHC title is definitely getting its recognition back to where it was early 2000s.
Yeah, now it's 2023, so it's been 14 years since Misawa's passing, and with 14 years, it's entirely new that the top group, that the Ken Lo's guys, and you know, Katsuhiko Nakajima, and just like all these new main event guy, and of course now you are talking about Kaito Kiyomiya's era. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We also there's also Jake Lee, the Black Savior. He's the current champion.
Yeah, I counted it. Is Jake Lee winning this year, right? That March 19th at Yokohama Budokan, Jake Lee became 42nd GHC champion. Mm-hmm. 42 champions.
42 wow. champions, yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah, from the champions we skipped from, you know, Minoru Suzuki back to Marufuji, Marufuji to Takashi Sugiura, Sugiura to Go Shiozaki, back to Sugiura, then Katsuhiko Nakajima, Eddie Edwards, Kenho, back to Takashi Sugiura. Then you had Kaito Kiyomiya when he was only 22. Wow.
I can't believe that. What year was it? 2017, 2018?
Yeah, it was of course, after Kaito Kiyomiya, you know, Go Shiozaki comes back and beat Kiyomiya. But Keiji Muto comes in and signed a contract with Pro Wrestling Noah. And 58-year-old at the time, Keiji Muto beat Shiozaki to become GHC champion. And also, he had a grand slam, right? Because he was IWGP champion. He was NWA champion. He was Triple Crown All Japan champion, and he finally became GHC champion. I think it really made GHC with Keiji Muto's reign that's like, right, this is another very important, legitimate world heavyweight title in wrestling. Yeah.
Yeah, people,
of course, GHC's always been pretty important, but right, Muto helped another dimension to it, I think. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. People were talking about it more than usual.
Yeah, because you know, the superstar of 80s and 90s and 2000, and now at the time Keiji Muto was freelancing, and Marufuji convinced him to sign a contract with Pro Wrestling Noah, and he now is a Pro Wrestling Noah wrestler. So, and then Keiji Muto, like a very final chapter of his glorified wrestling career, that he choose Pro Wrestling Noah to be the place, right?
Mm.
And from Keiji Muto to Marufuji, sure enough, then Marufuji to Katsuhiko Nakajima. Then Nakajima was beaten by MMA guy again, Kazuyuki Fujita. Interesting, huh? Then Shiozaki came back and beat Fujita. Then you have Satoshi Kojima from New Japan again. It's like, yeah. Wow, Kojima was your very first Grand Slam champion, IWGP champion, and Triple Crown champion at the turn of the century. So Kojima played a very interesting role in this too. Yeah. Kenho, Kiyomiya, Jake Lee. So now you're looking at this today's Pro Wrestling Noah. It's important to beat former superstar in it, don't you think?
Definitely. You have to mark. You have to have those markers for fans to know this is probably going to be.
Yeah,
and it has to mean something.
Yeah, you have to beat John Cena to be the next superstar, right?
And but also John Cena, when Kevin Owens beat John Cena, remember how meaningful that was for him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely.
On the vice versa.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it's now that Jake Lee, who was All Japan wrestler up until last year, and it will be very interesting. Yeah. So Pro Wrestling Noah has, very interesting momentum this year. You know that it was Pro Wrestling Noah's show that produced Keiji Muto's final retirement tour. Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, because, Tokyo Dome card, Tokyo Dome show this year, back in February, it was, of course, Keiji Muto's solo retirement, final match, final card. But it was Pro Wrestling Noah that people witnessed. So I think this year, Pro Wrestling Noah has very, very good momentum going.
Yeah, we'll see where it leads. I know there'll be a big announcement later today, tonight. So
with press conference with New Japan's Hiroshi Tanahashi and All Japan's Kento Miyahara and Pro Wrestling Noah's Kaito Kiyomiya, right?
Mm.
Later on today, it's a streaming service press conference, huh? Mm-hmm. Very much today's style press conference. And it's interesting to see, these three major companies working together. Yeah.
And I wonder if we'll see
New Japan Pro Wrestling Noah and All Japan, right? each has its own world heavyweight title. Yeah. It's very interesting.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll see more and more of that over the next year or so.
Yeah, it's not as political as, you know, it used to be. You know, when you have this inter-promotional company, like we go back to New Japan and UWFI or something like that, it's so political and it's not as smooth as people want to see what's happening backstage and stuff like that. But today's inter-promotional is purely, it's like a dream match card. Not so much political looking. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and it seems like it's win-win for everybody.
Oh, it has to be, yeah.
Yeah. Especially when somebody like Keiji Muto is gone from the scene.
Right, right. Now, I think it's Tanahashi's in more of the veteran role in this. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess it'd be, what, Tanahashi, maybe Mara Fuji in a couple of years.
Yeah, but the champion would be today's generation's guys.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, so Pro Wrestling Noah has both Jake Lee and Kaito Kiyomiya, so it's pretty strong. I think Jake Lee is more like your 90s Masachono type.
I could see that. I could see that. But he also has that martial arts flavor too.
Because comes from MMA background. Yeah.
That's right. He kind of almost has
didn't grow up as a wrestling fan either. So this is like a different air he kind of generates. Yeah.
Do you think he's similar to Takayama in some ways?
Takayama, yeah, more similar. But it's like more because, you know, like a good looking guys, you know, like a teaming up with Americans and British guys. And there's a more international flavor to it.
A different kind of charisma, lots of more speaking than you would usually expect from Pro Wrestling Noah, from wrestling.
Oh, the interviews, backstage interviews, right. I mean, he's totally in character though.
You know? Different flavor.
Yeah, but today's wrestler is all character, so yeah.
Yeah, that's what it seems to be, huh?
Yeah, but when you think about it, Anthony Inoki was and Ricky Choshi was, they're all in character.
That's right.
Yeah.
24/7.
They were doing that 24/7. Kiki agrees.
Well, I guess that should wrap.
That does it.
GSC, GHC. I mean, unless I'm.
Yeah, because we were talking about IWGP, the Triple Crown, that the championship belt that's been around 40 years, 50 years.
Right, 50
it's
years.
Kind of too much of a history for today's wrestling fans, but it's Pro Wrestling Noah's GHC title that has 22-year history, which is pretty long, too.
It's decent.
And it really connects with today's scene and what it means today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that'll wrap our Origin series, our Origin Championship
series. Origin series? Okay, we did three of them. Yep. IWGP and Triple Crown and today's GHC.
That's right. It's all filled out. It's rounded
out. Seminar.
Very good, yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, if people have questions and they want to ask you about the origin of any of these championships, where can they reach you on the internet?
Yes, at Fumihiko Dayo on Twitter. Go ahead. Oh, I can't hear you.
Are you there?
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. On Twitter, at Fumihiko Dayo, FUMIHIKODAYO, Fumihiko Dayo, or just Fumisaito on Facebook. Please message me first.
And on Twitter, I'm at Justin M. Nipper, KNIPPER. Yeah, bug us if you have questions and comments and all that good stuff.
Yeah, we should have a questions only episode sometimes.
Yeah, if you have questions, send them to us and we'll collect them and do a special episode for you guys.
Okay.
Okay, so until next time.
So long from Tokyo. Write that down. Write that down. Write that down.
that, write that.